Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Jesus, we thank you for gathering us here around your word to worship and praise you. We ask that you would move us by your Holy Spirit to praise you with our whole heart and to go about our lives praising you with what we do and say. We ask you to bless us today and always in your saving name. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Church of God, Elect and Glorious. Do I have the wrong bulletin? I do. I'm sorry, I have the wrong bulletin. What's the first hymn? Praise the one who breaks the darkness. I'm going to go grab the right bulletin. Thank you. That was last week's. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. To those who believe on Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God, and God gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Almighty and most merciful God, the provider and protector of all who trust in you, strengthen our faith and give us courage to believe that in your love you will rescue us from all adversities. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We read from chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Our sermon text will be taken from verses a little later on in this chapter. Paul sort of sets the stage for our sermon text by his words here, encouraging us, his believers, the church, to dwell together in unity. That unity, of course, is to be based on Christ and his word. Paul writes, "As a prisoner in the Lord, therefore I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Live with all humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you also were called in the one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift from Christ." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading for today is from John chapter 6. We read verses 1 through 15. Glory to you, O Lord. This is the account of Jesus feeding the 5,000, a reminder that Jesus, when he promises to provide for us, can do it in a miraculous way if he so chooses. After this, Jesus crossed over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd followed him because they saw miraculous signs he was performing on those who were sick. Jesus went up on the hillside and sat down there with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, "Where can we buy bread for these people to eat?" But Jesus was saying this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to have just a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what is that for so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. There were about 5,000 men. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed pieces to those who were seated. He also did the same with the fish, as much as they wanted. When the people were full, he told his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over so that nothing is wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces from the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw the miraculous sign Jesus did, they said, "This really is the prophet who is coming into the world." When Jesus realized that they intended to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Here ends our gospel reading. Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia.
Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning on page 6 in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn. It was one of the songs that the children learned during our vacation Bible school this past week. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow members of the body of Christ. One of the main themes of Paul's letter to the Ephesians is the Holy Christian Church, the capital C Church, that is the sum total of all believers in Jesus. In today's text, we're going to hear Paul use an illustration comparing Christ's church to the human body. In fact, he calls the church the body of Christ. And it's our Savior's desire to make his church, his body, stronger and larger. And today we'll be taking a look at how he does this. These verses for our sermon text give us our sermon theme, which describes for us Christ's bodybuilding program. We read our sermon text for today from the fourth chapter of Ephesians. This time we'll read verses 11 through 16. He himself, that is Christ, gave the apostles, as well as the prophets, as well as the evangelists, as well as the pastors and teachers, for the purpose of training the saints for the work of serving, in order to build up the body of Christ. This is to continue until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, resulting in a mature man with a stature reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ. The goal is that we would no longer be children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, when people use tricks and invent clever ways to lead us astray. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we would in all things grow up into Christ, who is the head. From him, the whole body, being joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows in accordance with Christ's activity when he measured out each individual part. He causes the growth of the body so that it builds itself up in love. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. There are many parallels that can be drawn between the spiritual building up of Christ's church and the physical building up or strengthening of the human body. Millions of Americans each day head to the gym, head to fitness clubs to try to get their bodies into better shape. And a major selling point for most people is, what is the fitness club or gym equipped with? Does it have the right staff? Does it have people who will help me with my workout? Does it have the right equipment to help me start looking and feeling my best? Most gyms do have people on staff, like personal trainers, to help people with their personal workout programs, help monitor their progress so they are making their fitness goals. Most gyms and fitness clubs also have many different types of exercise equipment, from treadmills and ellipticals to weight machines and free weights, all kinds of torture devices that we can use to try and get ourselves into better shape. In the same way, Jesus has made sure that his church is fully equipped for bodybuilding. That is the building up of his body, the church. First of all, our text reminds us that God has given his church a fully trained and qualified staff, a gift from Christ himself. Our text says in verse 11 that he himself, that is Jesus, gave the apostles, as well as the prophets, as well as the evangelists, as well as the pastors and teachers. God has given his church these men and these women to be spiritual personal trainers for God's people. And here he calls them saints. That's referring to you and me and all believers. The word saint in the Greek means a holy one. People who have been washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus are seen in God's eyes as saints, as holy ones. Paul tells us they have been given to the church and called by Christ for the purpose of training the saints for the work of serving in order to build up the body of Christ. And ever since Jesus ascended into heaven, he's been using these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to personally train and help the individual members of Christ's body make the whole body stronger. He uses these called servants for the purpose of training the saints for the work of serving. And that word serving is the word for ministry. We all have a ministry. We all are called to serve in the body of Christ. So God gave us pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets for the building up of each other and the training of saints for the work of ministry. That brings us to the second point. Not only has Christ provided us with the staff for his bodybuilding program, he's also provided us with the proper equipment. That proper equipment, of course, is something that he's given his called servants and all of his saints, all of his believers, to use to strengthen and build up not just our individual faith, but to build up his body, the church in general. That equipment is the Bible, his word. Not to use to do arm curls, but to use to read, to strengthen our faith, to grow in Christ. His word does strengthen us, each one of us individually, but then in doing so, unites us and makes us stronger as a body. It is that word which unites us and makes us one body under Christ. That is our goal as believers. As Paul says in verse 13, that we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, resulting in a mature man with a stature reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ. Our oneness, our unity in the faith is to be based on, as Paul says, the knowledge of the Son of God. And that word for knowledge used there in the original Greek literally means full or complete knowledge, not just to know something or someone in general, but to know someone or something fully. We come to a more complete and full knowledge of Christ by using that equipment he has given us, by using his word. How do we find out more about him and what he's done for us? We let him speak for himself. We read it in his very own word. His word lets us know him better. It tells us more about who he is, what he's done, and his saving relationship with us. This, of course, is the ideal, that all Christians, young and old, come to a full and complete knowledge of Christ based on what he revealed about himself in the Bible. However, we also know that because we are sinful, we are imperfect, we don't have a perfect knowledge of all things, much less a perfect knowledge of the Bible, and a perfect knowledge of all the things that Christ has revealed to us. Because of Satan's lies, because of people's own misinterpretations, our own lack of knowledge, our unity of faith with other Christians in this life is going to be imperfect. This perfect knowledge and perfect unity of what we believe and our unity in Christ is going to be perfect finally in heaven with all believers. Paul used that same expression for full knowledge when he told the Corinthian Christians this. He said, "Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." And he used the same word there that he uses in our text for today. So does that mean that we should compromise? Does that mean we should give up trying for this complete knowledge and perfect unity in what we believe and teach? Because we can't do it perfectly, let's just forget it altogether? The answer, of course, is no. Again, use the example of physical building up of our health and our bodies. Everyone who goes to the gym knows they will never achieve full and perfect complete health, no matter how much they exercise, no matter how well they take care of their body, no matter how cleanly they eat. And yet we continue to strive for improvement, for better fitness, for better health. Everyone wants to try and strive to feel better. God does desire this perfect unity in his church. And we as his children want what God, our Heavenly Father, wants. Therefore, we're always striving for that ideal. And since we know that we can never reach this ideal in this life, we also know there's always room for improvement. There's always room for growth. And there's no room for complacency or stagnation in our faith life. There is, in fact, no limit to the amount of knowledge we can gain through God's Word. There's no limit to the unity that God can produce through that Word between Christians. He's given us imperfect humans that perfect Word on which to base our unity. In His Word, we find our common faith, our common confession, and our common purpose. Maybe you noticed in our scripture reading earlier from the verses previous to this sermon text, the verses from chapter 4 where Paul talks about oneness amongst believers. And listen again to these verses and see how many times Paul uses that word one or speaks of unity. This is from verses 3 through 6 of this same chapter. He says, "Make every effort to maintain unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you also were called in the one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in us all." As individual members of Christ's body, having unity of purpose is vitally important. It means all of us have a role to play, a role to fulfill in Christ's bodybuilding program. It also means that we've not all been equipped to perform the same roles, but everyone is needed. None of us have been given so little that we can't contribute something. At the very least, we can pray for each other. Pray for the rest of the members of the body of Christ. At the same time, none of us have been given so much that we can't think that Christ's church or His body can't get along without us. No one has been given all the gifts. Each one of us needs to carefully examine every area of our lives, our occupations, our abilities, our finances, our families, our strengths, our weaknesses, and prayerfully determine with God's help, how can I best use my role as a member of the body of Christ to serve the good of the whole body? If each one of the members of the body of Christ had this attitude toward the body as a whole, then growth would simply be inevitable. Paul reminds us that the purpose of Christ's bodybuilding program is for the growing of the body. He speaks of this in verse 16. He says, "From Him, from Christ, the whole body being joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows in accordance with Christ's activity when He measured out each individual part. He causes the growth of the body so that it builds itself up in love." This growing that Christ causes in His body is first of all internal. We might call this, sometimes if we're speaking about spreading God's Word or sharing God's Word, we sometimes call this inreach. The growth is within us, internally. We spoke earlier how Christ wants us all to become unified, united in our faith through our knowledge of Him. Well, one of the reasons is He wants us to become more mature Christians, firmly rooted and joined together in Christ, a stronger, more unified body. He wants to make us, as Paul puts it, a mature man with a stature reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ. And the word that's used there for the mature man or the mature person is a word that can be translated adults. He wants us to be grown-ups, mature adults spiritually, grown-ups in our faith so that we would no longer, as Paul puts it, be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, when people use tricks and invent clever ways to lead us astray. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we would in all things grow up into Christ, who is the head. Paul also reminds us that Jesus wants to make His body stronger. Paul says that Christ is building up His own body through the various individual members of His body. And when you are physically exercising and working out, especially if you're weight training, you're not only making your muscles stronger, you can also make your muscles grow larger. The same thing happens in the body of Christ. As individual members, and the entire body gets stronger, it also naturally grows larger. When all the members of Christ are working together according to the gifts that God has supplied to them, He causes the growth of the body. I think that's a significant portion of verse 16. He, Jesus, causes the growth of the body. He is our head. He is the one indispensable unit of the body. We grow through Him and from Him. He's the one who supplies us with the ability to do this. He's the one who supplies us with the growth, the strength, and the increase. He's also the one who supplies us with that key ingredient to strengthen and build up the body of Christ. That key ingredient is so simple and yet so profound. That ingredient is love. Listen again to those words in the last verse of our text. He says, He, Christ, causes the growth of the body so that it builds itself up in love. In the verse before it, he tells us that we should speak the truth in love. That is the key ingredient to building up Christ's church. Christ's incredible love for us is what compels us to show love to our fellow members of His body. It's His love that compels us to reach out to those who are not yet members of Christ's body and share with them that love, that saving love of Jesus. This means that we show Christ-like care and concern for each other. In love, moved by the love of Christ, we build each other up, encourage each other. We're patient with each other. We continue serving Christ with our gifts and our abilities. In love, we speak to each other in truth. We speak to those who do not yet know Christ. We speak to them, yes, with the truth, but also in loving ways. This means that no matter whom we're talking to, whether it's a believer or an unbeliever, we speak the truth in Christ, but we do it in love. We don't do it with arrogance. Well, I know more than you, or I have the truth and you don't, as if we did anything to deserve this great gift of God. But we also don't do it timidly. We do it courageously, showing love for those souls of our fellow man, courageously speaking God's truth, speaking it in love, even when it may not be appreciated, may not be popular, may even bring persecution on us. When we are physically building our bodies, when we're working out and exercising at a gym or a fitness club, you most likely also have to pay some membership fees. Those membership fees last for a certain period of time, but eventually they will expire. The good news about Christ's bodybuilding program is our membership in this body never expires. And it's an absolutely 100% free gift. No catches, no ifs, ands, or buts. It doesn't have an expiration date. In Christ, we've been given this free gift of spiritual fitness through the forgiveness of sins which He won for us on His cross. The faith which He created in our hearts through His Word. He freely gave us His Holy Spirit to give us that faith in His Word. He has given us trained and qualified personal trainers who help equip us for the work Christ has called us to do. He has united us as individual members of one body through faith in Him, through His Word. And finally, He gives His body, His church, the ability to keep growing, maturing in faith, stronger and larger, growing in love. Thanks be to God that we have been made members of His bodybuilding program. Through His help and through His motivation, let's strive to get our workouts in every day. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue our service with our next hymn, The Church's One Foundation. Please rise. We bring prayers to our Father's throne. First of all, prayers of thanksgiving for blessing us with a wonderful Vacation Bible School this past week and for all the people who helped in our staff, our teachers, and those who gave donations to help make it the week that it was. We also pray for, we continue to pray for Terry's friend Rose and her husband Jim. Rose is continuing to suffer from cancer and is not very responsive. So we pray for strength and healing for her and strength for Jim. We also pray for Mary Ann, who is going in for a surgical procedure on Friday. Are there any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, our good shepherd, our savior, and our healer, we continue to bring before your throne our prayers, asking for help, for healing, for Rose, and strength for her husband, Jim. Dear Lord, be with both of them in this time of trial, and as their good shepherd, help them through this valley of the shadow of death. If it is your will, Lord, that Rose's time on this earth is nearing an end, give her peace and keep her from pain as you are close to welcoming her into your kingdom. Please be with Jim and give him the strength and comfort he needs to serve Rose and to minister to her during this time of trial. Help them both to know that you are there with them and help them that you are their comfort and their strength, even when this life is at an end. We pray for our sister in Christ, Mary Ann, Lord. Bless her surgical procedure on Friday. Give her comfort and peace, knowing that you are right there with her and working all of this out for her good. If it is your will, help that surgery to be successful and help her recovery to be swift and smooth and bring her back to worship you with us just as soon as possible. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the Vacation Bible School you gave us this past week, for all the students you brought to hear your word. We ask you to cause that word to grow in their hearts, that these young children will always remember you as their God and Savior. May the Bible lessons they learned this past week always remind you of your grace and your love for them and all that you did to save them in sending your Son Jesus to live, die, and rise again for them. Keep them in your loving care, that they always know you as their loving Father, who always works all things out for their good. We thank you for the volunteer teachers and staff you provided for us, for all the time, effort, and talents that were used for your glory and for the spread of your saving word to these children. We thank you for bringing our two traveling teachers here and for giving one of our teachers, Grant, safe travels home to Florida already. We ask that you'd give our other teacher, Sam, safe travels home to Wisconsin. Use your word to build us up as your body, the church. Help us to strengthen and encourage each other in Christ's love. And in love, move us to reach out with your gospel and cause your body, your church, to grow. Bless all of our efforts, both to internally and externally strengthen and grow your kingdom, to your glory and for the salvation of many souls. Dear Lord and Savior, guard us and protect us. Bring peace and stability to our violent and unstable world, so full of sin, sickness, war, and strife. When you are ready, dear Jesus, come and take us to our heavenly home, where all the members of your body, the church, will live in peace and joy forever. It's in your saving name we pray these things, as we pray together now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close with our last hymn for today. It is the hymn that the children learned during their Vacation Bible School this past week, Grace Has a Thrilling Sound. I invite you to stand for the last verse.
Grace.
You may be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. And on behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. We invite you to sign our guest book in the entryway, and we invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. We also welcome our brothers and sisters in Christ from our East Bay congregation who are with us today. Of course, after the service, we will be gathering at Cuesta Park in Mountain View for our church picnic. That will begin at approximately 11:30, whenever the charcoals are ready and the meat is ready. So there are maps in the entryway if you'd like to take a map, and the address is in the bulletin if you want to type that into your GPS or your phone. It's not far from here, and there's some directions to get to the reserved picnic area where we will be. Some thank yous for Vacation Bible School this week. Thank you to the teachers and staff and everyone who helped out with putting on the VBS last week, but also for those who gave donations to help with activities and sightseeing for the teachers and staff. It was a really fun and enjoyable week. There's a thank you card in the entryway on the podium from one of the teachers. They were very grateful and really enjoyed the week with the kids and seeing the sights of the Bay Area. A couple of announcements for this week. Tuesday, we'll be having our Board of Education meeting via Zoom at 6 p.m. Thursday, I'll be heading to Stockton for our worship service at Oakmont at 2, and then to Sacramento for our worship there at Forever Easter House at 4:30. Next Sunday, we'll be having Bible study here at 9 a.m. and worship service with communion at 10. For our East Bay congregation in Hayward, the worship service with communion will be at 1 p.m., and then there will be a congregational meeting at 2 p.m. The entire congregation is invited to attend that for discussions about our current state and what we're going to be doing going forward. President Wilkie has sent a pastor call list to both of our congregation's chairmen, so that will be under discussion again for next Sunday as well. That meeting in East Bay will be in advance of our joint congregation meeting, which is planned for August 11th. We will have a joint worship service here, Lord willing, at 10, and then the meeting afterwards at 11. Both of our congregations are encouraged to attend. We'll even send out a Zoom link to those who are at a distance and can't attend so they can Zoom in on the discussion that Sunday. Lord willing, we'll also be discussing the call list and, Lord willing, calling the next pastor at that meeting. After that meeting is over on the 11th, we'll also be having a voters meeting to fill our soon-to-be vacant church council position. So there are a lot of meetings on the 11th. Please join us for those. Voters, you are, of course, strongly encouraged to come and exercise your vote that day. Yes, Leslie.
Just in case you're not reading out, there's also Women's Auxiliary.
There is. And I didn't put it in the calendar because I didn't know if it was going to be that Sunday because we changed the date of this meeting kind of impromptu. So Women's Auxiliary on the 11th also. I will try to remember to put that in the bulletin next Sunday, as I will try to also not grab last Sunday's bulletin and have it in my hymnal. When you're used to a certain routine for both services, it's amazing the things you'll just go, oh yeah, I forgot to swap out my bulletin from my hymnal. So I knew that wasn't the first hymn for today, and I was confused for a second there. So I apologize. Any other announcements for today? I hope you're all going to be able to stay for the picnic with us. I hope to see you over at Cuesta Park. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.